Welcome to the West Kimberley Regional Prison, just south of Derby. The superintendent here is Michael McFarlane. He's a Noongar Aboriginal man who grew up in the southwest of Western Australia, and I was interested in what his childhood was like.
My old man's a worker. He used to get up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, go out to work every day and get home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it was a 12-hour day, 6 days a week, that sort of thing, which is what we saw. Mum went to work, so they were both, you know, both workers in that respect. I suppose over a period of time it sort of flowed onto the kids.
It's a childhood that contrasts starkly with many of his inmates. Still at the beginning of his adult life, an inmate who calls himself Birch reflects on his childhood on the streets of the East Kimberley town of Kununurra. Like the superintendent, Birch's father worked, but he worked on the mines away from his family.
My father, he was mainly at work, and he worked on the mine for few years, and he never really was around. And then my mother and father, they broke up when I was the age of 11.
Birch's mother was a single parent of seven kids. Drug and alcohol abuse are common in Kimberley towns and communities, and children roam the streets at night, often getting in trouble with police.
My mother, she was an alcoholic, and she drank a lot, and there was a lot of party and that in my house. And I didn't really feel safe being around my home and that. And so I head off to the streets and that. And so I grew up on the streets and, you know, just sleeping on top of the shopping centre roof and that, you know, and just with other Indigenous young fellas like me, you know, that's been through the same problem and that with their family and that.
As a teenager, Superintendent McFarlane wasn't fond of school. He was offered a baker's apprenticeship, but his parents had other ideas.
They said, no, stay and finish your schooling and you'll get a little bit... So I actually did Year 12 school, which was pretty rare in those days as well.
Even before making it to his teenage years, Birch's life was defined by alcohol, violence and drugs. His only support came from other children who were victims of the same experience.
You know, there must have been about 10 of us. Yeah, we all grew up running the streets and that, and you know, with their parents and that, violence and alcoholics and that, and a lot of cannabis and all that issues. And there was, you know, no safe being home and that, because there's a lot of strangers and that, and partying around the house and that. And, you know, you feel scared of yourself and that.
Did bad things happen to you when you were a kid?
No, because, you know, I always been smart and I, you know, just took off and been with other groups and that, you know, and that's what made me feel safe. Yeah, just hanging with more young Indigenous that's gone through the same problem as me and that, you know, and you feel safer, you know, being around more crowd. Yeah.
By the age of 15, Birch's life on the streets of Kununurra led him to a heavy cannabis habit.
It's just, no, just, you know, looking for a family and that, you know, looking for someone like a safe house and all that, you know, and this cannabis, I thought, you know, it'll help me out and take me away from all these things that I was looking for. And
when he completed Year 12, the future Kimberley superintendent trained as a hospital orderly. He got his first taste of working with Indigenous offenders when WA police began recruiting for what were then called Aboriginal police aides. After working with police in remote parts of Western Australia, Michael McFarlane made the move into the prison service.
You know, I had a period of being a catcher, now on the period of being a keeper, to see where you sent them to and, you know, what they actually did.
As Birch came of age as a young Aboriginal man, his life was in an accelerating downward spiral.
And we needed money to support our cannabis habit, so we started stealing to get our cannabis and alcohol and that. And it just carried on until we got older. And then that's when we started, you know, I started getting depressed and all that. And that's a biggest issue that got into my life, and depression and...
How did that affect your life?
Oh, a lot. It bring me right down, you know, changed me a lot. I couldn't be the person I wanted to be.
Do you know what it was that made you feel sad?
Yeah, my family, you know, my mother, my father and that, you know, from breaking up at a young age, 11, from them to, you know, separating and leaving us kids and the alcohol and violence and all that, and growing up around that, you know, it affect a lot on me and my brothers and sisters. You know, and I believe, you know, that because of that, now I'm in here in jail, and you know, and my brothers and sisters, we all separated. We're all not together anymore as a family. You know, and it's just one of the biggest issues in Indigenous in life, you know, just alcohol and violence and that. Yeah.
It was here in the West Kimberley Regional Prison that two very different Aboriginal lives finally crossed paths. Through very different journeys, the inmate and the superintendent have come together, both in place and in thinking.
I've had family in prison. I've had people I worked with in prison that were Aboriginal people, and also their families as well. So, yeah, I've had mates from school that have wound up in jail. I mean, the old story was, Mum would always say, if you don't watch it, you'll wind up in jail. Well, I suppose I did, but just in the other capacity, so, for the last 20 years or so. What goes through my mind is that if I didn't have the opportunities I had, it could have been me.
It's indicative of how disadvantaged life can be for some Kimberley Aboriginal people that the West Kimberley Regional Prison may be the first opportunity Birch has ever had.
But coming in here, I know there's a lot of support and that with some of the ladies, social workers. Yeah, they want to help a lot, us Indigenous, us and some of us in prison and that, and, you know, keep us out instead of us coming back. And they want to, you know, find us a good job and that, and get us ready for the outside.
Indigenous imprisonment statistics in Western Australia show how hard it's going to be for Birch to change the trajectory of his life. Just 3% of West Australians are Indigenous, but the state's prison population is 40% Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. And over 60% of Indigenous prisoners are repeat offenders, which is twice the non-Indigenous rate. Superintendent McFarlane is realistic about Birch's slim chances of a better life, but he's a long way from giving up on him.
But if we can, or I can, and I say we can, change that generation now, does he go back with a bit of a fighting spirit? You know, does he think, well, I can actually do something, I can make a change, I can get on one of the committees or the community, I can become a council member, I can actually start to have a say in there because I can actually see where we're going and what we're trying to do. I mean, again, look at the positives on that side of it. But one step forward, two steps back, he might go out, come back in another two or three times before, as he mentioned before, where that line is drawn. He thinks, look, I've had enough of coming to jail, I don't want to come in here anymore. With the skills I own, what can I do when I get out?
Perhaps Birch will buck the statistics. Despite his start in life, he's determined to make a change.
Well, there's bad influence, you know, they're always going to be there, you know, no matter where you go. There's always bad influence. But it's the main and the big challenge is to stay away from it. And, yeah, I'm going to go back to Karnataka and, you know, I'm going to find a good job and, you know, I'm not going to stop.